Yes. Kim. Weather. Aduna. Now. Loke. In the world. Shasta. The supreme controller. Dandadaraha. The carrier of the rod of punishment. Rabahu. The master. Asmat Vidanam. Of persons like us. Dustanam. Criminals. Nirlajanam. Who have no shame. Cha. And. Viprakrit. The restrainer. Translation. The goddess Parvati said, at last, has this upstart now received a post from which to punish shameless persons like us? Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of the rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything? So you can repeat. The goddess Parvati said,
the goddess Parvati said,
alas, has this upstart,
alas, has this upstart
now received a post?
Now received a post.
From which to punish shameless persons like us.
From which to punish shameless persons like us.
Has he been appointed ruler?
Has he been appointed ruler?
Carrier of the rod of punishment.
Carrier of the rod of punishment.
Is he now the only master of everything?
Is he now the only master of everything?
So there's no purport to this text, no purport to the next text. The text after that is a very short purport, so we'll keep reading until we get to the text that has a substantial purport. So text 12. Naveda dharmam gila padma yunir brahma putra brigun naradayaha tadyaha navai kumara kapilo manuscha yeno nishidyam jati vartinam karam. Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion, nor do the great saints like Bhrigu and Narada, nor the four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar. Manu and Kapila have also forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be, because of this, that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly. Text 13. Esham manudyeya padabja yugmam jagadguru mangala mangalam swayam yat shatrubandhu paribhuya surin prashasti drishtashtarayam hidanjaha. This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of the entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. All the members of the assembly were exalted brahmanas and self-realized souls, but they did not say anything about the conduct of Lord Shiva, who was embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu, nonetheless, criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished. So that's simply descriptive. So we'll go on to the next text and then read the purport and comment. Nayam arhati vaikunta paramulo prasarapanam sambhavata mati stapta sadubi pariyupashatam. This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important. So purport, if a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was the one who originated that saying, puffed up. in reference to the frog in the well story. And yet, sometimes we use that saying when we're talking to non-devotees. They really don't understand what we're saying. If we say, you were puffed up, they say, what? Do I have some problem with my stomach or something like that? Yeah, puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction by Lord Chaitanya is applicable to nad api sunitena, tador api sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sada purihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, Om Maganatam Dandasha, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Parvati is ready to employ the rod of punishment against Chitraketu, and when you get cursed by Parvati, it's quite a heavy thing. Like Chitraketu becomes a demon, or implanted in a demon body, and he has to carry out some demoniac activities being implanted in a demon body because of his offenses against Lord Shiva, because of being proud. So Parvati is quite heavy. Whereas we can contrast that with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he cuts down someone's pride, he does it in not such a heavy fashion. Generally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came in contact with people who were too proud, or devotees who were too proud, they were too proud because of their learning. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was renowned as this great scholar. You don't really find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cursing people to take a demon body. Of course, he did curse one devotee, this Gopal Chapala, which is an interesting story. Gopal Chapala was framing or attempting to frame Srivast Thakur by putting the ingredients for the worship of Bhavani or Durga in front of Srivast Thakur's door. And as a result of that, he got leprosy, and then Gopal Chapala went to Lord Chaitanya and said, please give me your mercy because I have leprosy. These worms are just, crawling in and out and eating my body. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically said, for millions of years or for many, many lifetimes, you're going to be experiencing these same things because of the offenses against Srivast Thakur. Close the door. It needs to be closed all the way. Thank you. Constantly have to watch that. So because of your offenses against Srivast Thakur, and of course later on, the Gopal Chapala apologized to Srivast Thakur and he's forgiven. But generally you find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating people philosophically and in this way cutting down their false pride. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was generally coming in contact with educated people. And of course, educated people succumb to the false pride of having too much knowledge. Of course, Queen Kunti talks about this in her prayers, Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shibir. There's different ways or means that stimulate someone's false pride. And it's good birth, having birth in a very high family, Aishwarya, or having a lot of money, or being very beautiful, or having a lot of knowledge, Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shibir. And these things are actually quite dangerous. I mean, for example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very concerned with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, attractive physically or externally. And he had taken sannyas at a very early age, at 24. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I better reinstitute or re-give you sannyas in a higher status or something like that so you can maintain your sannyas. So these are all dangerous things to have in this world. A lot of learning, very intelligence, a lot of money, beauty, any of these things, or so-called high birth. Or high birth, we don't really have to worry about that much. Although we do find in the religion that I was born in, or the genetic that I was born in, the people were very proud, like, of being the chosen people. And it's interesting that the people in my particular group of, you know, the religion or whatever, they would look upon people who were not members of that religion, and in a derogatory fashion, they would call them names. There's some very derogatory names like Goyim, or Shegetz, or Shiksha. Shiksha means like a female person who's not a member of our group. And a Shegetz is a male member who's not a member of our group. A male person who's not a member of our group. So even, you know, amongst Malechas, there's consideration of high birth and low birth. Although, I mean, Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, that everybody's of low birth, and the only way we can rectify ourselves is samskara bhavet vijam, you know, by taking the proper samskara. And in Kali Yuga, the samskara is Krishna Nam Sankirtam. Anyway, so getting to the point. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's several instances where he confronted people who are proud of their learning. One instance that I'm thinking of right now is the instance of Balabhacharya. Some of you have heard of Balabhacharya. Lord Chaitanya previously met Balabhacharya, I think it was in Varanasi, and they had a very nice relationship. So anyway, so Balabhacharya, or he was known as Balabha right at that time, because it was Balabhacharya later on, he became prominent. He was a very erudite scholar. And he came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he was trying to display his erudition, even while he was glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the first things he said was he began to glorify Lord Chaitanya. You're the supreme personality of Godhead. You're so wonderful, etc. This story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to cut down this person's false pride, and it's interesting, the false pride was manifest as glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Because he was trying to show that he knew about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though what he was saying was absolutely correct. But the motivation behind his saying it was actually the false pride, or the desire to show everybody that he knew more than anyone else. Quite interesting. You can actually say something that's absolutely true, but be wrong in saying it because you're doing it for the wrong motive. You know, and we find that sometimes that, for example, people give these Bhagavad Saptahas, and they may speak the truth, and during the Bhagavad Saptahas, that Krishna's God, and they may talk about the gopis, of course, generally, they do that. But their motivation in many cases is to make money. You know, make money, to get followers, etc., like that. So we have to really be concerned with our motivation. It's not a question of simply preaching Krishna Katha. And that's why it's said in the Bhagavatam, the one gives the Bhagavatam class, they have to be free of sex desire. Now, that's interesting. That means, basically, you're talking about the subtle sex desire. And, of course, gross sex desire, too. That means profit, adoration, distinction. In other words, when you're preaching, you can't be thinking, I'm preaching because I really want someone to appreciate me or think I'm such a great preacher at Srimad Bhagavatam. One should be speaking simply to glorify the Supreme Personality. That should be the motivation. So, of course, so because we have material minds, so many other motivations come up while we're doing our service, so we have to be able to check these motivations with intelligence. So anyway, Balabha, Balabhacharya, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was glorifying Lord Chaitanya. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, basically, actually, whatever I am is due to the mercy of these other devotees. And then he began to talk about all these other devotees who he attributed his good qualities to. And then he first started with the Dvaitacharya. And he said, because of the association with the Dvaitacharya, my mind has become purified. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's mind is always purified. But he was displaying or speaking in such a way to cut down the false pride of Balabhacharya. So I said, because of Advaitacharya, my mind has become purified, and because I'm associating with Lord Nityananda, the Avadhut, I'm actually becoming Krishna conscious. And also, I'm really thankful to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who taught me about the theses, you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And as far as Ramananda Roy, he taught me about the rasas and the higher truths of Krishna consciousness. So I'm dependent on all these people. And then, that his final zinger, so to speak, was, and actually, I'm dependent on Haridas Thakur to learn about the glories of the holy name. So here was Vallabhacharya. Not only was he a very educated person, but he was also from a very high-class Brahmin family. Very, very high-class Brahmin family. And so then Lord Chaitanya ultimately cited the example of Haridas Thakur, who was from a very low-class Muslim family. Interesting, isn't it? Just to teach Vallabhacharya the point. And Vallabhacharya, he just like, didn't know what to say. And he asked Lord Chaitanya, you know, how can I see these devotees? You know, when can I see the devotees? Of course, Haridas Thakur was always there, but the other devotees came regularly during the time of the Rath Yatra, during the Chaturmasya period. And so Lord Chaitanya said, they're just now coming. And he introduced them to Vallabhacharya. And Vallabhacharya appeared to be, it's described like a glowworm in the association of all these great devotees. You know, a glowworm can't give much illumination. Whereas the sun and the moon, which are like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they can illuminate the entire universe, where a glowworm can't illuminate anything. So Vallabhacharya became very, very upset, and he thought, you know, somehow or other, I have to prove my erudition, you know, that I'm actually more intelligent than these other people. He was determined. And so he came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on. He said, my dear Lord Chaitanya, I have written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya said, basically, I don't want to hear that commentary. Later on, he actually proposed another commentary, but we'll get to that point. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not interested in hearing your commentary. And so this was like another slap in the face, you know, cutting down the pride of Vallabhacharya. And then he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have written a commentary on the holy name. You know, telling you, of course, this is one of the offenses on chanting, to actually speculate or give a perverted interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. So I've written a commentary on the holy name, and Lord Chaitanya says, I don't know anything about the holy name, I just know it's Krishna, and refers to Krishna in Vrindavan, and he cited that, and Vallabhacharya got even more upset. And then he said, basically, these are different times, not all the same day. Then he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to hear my commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. I've actually shown that Sridhar Swami is off in many ways. You know, I'm paraphrasing what he said. And Lord Chaitanya became very angry. And he says, anybody who neglects the husband, you know, considered Sridhar Swami, Swami also means husband, because in India many times the wife, at least traditionally, the wife would call the husband Swami. Swami means master in one particular context. So he said, anyone who neglects the husband, he was a Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam in this day and age, is a prostitute. So he actually called Vallabhacharya a prostitute. And so Vallabhacharya was even more fried out at this particular time. And because he was so upset with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started to take shelter of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami really didn't want to give him shelter, but he was very soft-hearted at the same time. And because this Vallabhacharya had taken shelter of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, the other devotees got upset with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to neglect him. And of course, later on we'll see this was a test. But sometimes Lord Chaitanya, not sometimes, but many times, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tests his devotees, you know, by neglecting them even. I mean, there's that story about Mukunda, for example, where Mukunda was associating with Mayavadis, improper people, And then Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him into the kirtan party. This is before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. That's this part of the story. And he would stand outside, and the devotees asked Lord Chaitanya, when will he be allowed in? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, basically after many thousands of births, he will get my association again. And then Mukunda began to dance in ecstasy, saying, I will get, I will get. So he was being tested to see his determination, as we say, or hear in the Upadeshamrita, Utsahan Vistyed Daryat. Tatat karma pavartana. One must be enthusiastic, patient, and determined to achieve Krishna's mercy. Anyway, getting back to the story of Ballabhacharya. So Ballabhacharya, he took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and then he basically asked Gadadhar Pandit Goswami a really offensive question. He said, my dear Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, or Gadadhar Pandit, I think we should not chant Krishna's names. Because, why should we not chant Krishna's name? Because Krishna is the Purusha, and he's also the husband of everybody. And so the wife is not supposed to use the husband's name. And that's the tradition. I mean, of course, nowadays it's not really followed. But the tradition was the wife, Prabhupada actually said that on several occasions, the wife should be calling the husband, I guess, Prabhu or Swami or something like that. And when there's use of the name, it sort of diminishes the respect that is there in a traditional marriage situation. I mean, for example, let's say in our relationship with Prabhupada, if we use just his sannyasa, it diminishes the respect. If we just say, if they say, who is your spiritual master? Oh, Bhaktivedanta Swami. And you know, if we go to Prabhupada, let's say, and say, oh, my dear Bhaktivedanta Swami, that's actually almost like an insult, isn't it? If we just call Prabhupada by horse. Or even like in the beginning, they were calling Prabhupada Swamiji. And Prabhupada said that's like a third-class appellation. And later on, we began to call Prabhupada Prabhupada. So in the same way, you know, sometimes in a relationship, yeah, especially with the children shouldn't be using the parents' name either. Like if a child says, like, hey, Joe, instead of, you know, Peter Sri, then it's an insult. And I've seen that in many cases happen nowadays, that the children use the parents' name. Anyway, so Ballabhacharya said to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna because Krishna is the supreme husband and we shouldn't use his name. And that's against the regulated principles. And so that was presented to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically chastised Ballabhacharya, saying, that may be an injunction, but even a higher injunction is, if the husband gives an order, that should be followed. And of course, Lord Chaitanya's order and Krishna's order is to chant his name. Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantas cha jadavartaha, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The devotees are always chanting my glories, chanting my names, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, etc. So Ballabhacharya was completely demolished and defeated, and later on, he took shelter at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet by having his fault, because his false pride was cut down. And he later on took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Now that story, when it was written, the story was written in our Back to Godhead magazine many, many years ago. And one of the members of the Ballabhacharya sect, Sumati Moriji, I think you all know who Sumati Moriji is. She's the one who arranged the Scindia steamship line. You know, she was in charge of that. She arranged the passage for Srila Prabhupada to America. When she read that, she got very upset because she considered that to be criticism of Ballabhacharya. But actually, it wasn't criticism per se. It was giving the past history of Ballabhacharya, indicating how he had taken shelter of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so Ballabhacharya became a great devotee, and to this day, there's the Ballabha sect, or Ballabhacharya sect, and they're called Pushti Marg in India. And they are actually a branch of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cut down the false pride of Balabhacharya. Then later on, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm very pleased with you because I neglected you to test you. And you never got angry with me. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had a very interesting relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he's considered to be the appearance of Radharani in Krishna's pastime and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in, as a member of the Panchatattva. But the Acharyas described he's Radharani, but Radharani's bhav, an aspect of Radharani's bhav, which is the man or the anger, was actually taken away by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is more in the mood of a submissive person like Rukmini or Chandravali, rather than in the angry mood or the... not that Radharani has an angry mood, but she gets angry with Krishna. So anyway. So that's one story about Lord Chaitanya cutting down someone's pride. Another story, of course, is when Lord Chaitanya was very young and this Digvijaya came to Mayapur. Digvijaya means someone who conquers by argumentation. So we went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, approached Nimai Pandit at that particular point, and he composed 100 verses glorifying the Ganges. Like it's described, he composed them like the wind in order to prove his erudition. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, please recite again. I think it was one of the verses, I forget which one. He said, please recite that, and Lord Chaitanya had memorized them all. And it sort of shocked this Digvijaya. How did you memorize all these? He asked Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I have one of these talents, you know, I can remember everything. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to tear apart linguistically the verse that this Digvijaya had spoken. And this Digvijaya was so proud because he had actually taken shelter of Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And he was thinking, why has my mother neglected me? And that night, of course, Mother Saraswati. That night he had a dream, and Saraswati chastised me and said, you have challenged my husband. Husband meaning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit. And then he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, so we find many instances in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes where he cut down people's pride. And if we manifest pride in our own lives, Lord Chaitanya will arrange to cut down our pride. Of course, we're not great scholars. Certainly we're not proud of that. But there are other things that we can be proud of, such as our ability to lead kirtan, or certainly not bodily beauty, but many other things. And then Lord Chaitanya makes arrangements. So it's better, as I say, it's better to employ shastra rather than shastra. There's two words. Shastra means the book or knowledge like that. In other words, one should voluntarily control his mind and senses and manifest a humble mood internally and externally before Lord Chaitanya or before Krishna cuts down his false pride. So it's easier if we do it voluntarily rather than have Krishna do it for us. So any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, many of them do consider him an incarnate, but he's not Krishna.
So what is
they consider him like a Mahaprabhu.
What is the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for them?
I'm not that up on their particular philosophy of what they consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They do understand that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami initiated Balabhacharya. And he's like their Mahaprabhu, in other words, an incarnation of Krishna. And Prabhupada never really preached against them. I mean, it's not that they have an improper philosophy. We have many nice relationships. Many of the temples in Vrindavan and Braj are actually controlled by the Balava sect. And they have it in Govardhan. They have their own mouth of Govardhan. It's Mukharavinda. So we have our mouth of Govardhan, they have their mouth. I mean, we're not criticizing. I mean, because Govardhan can eat anywhere he wants anyway. But according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the actual mouth of Govardhan is at the Manasaganga temple, Manasaganga lake. And it's right in the middle. I think many of you have been there. But according to the Vallabhacharya sect, it's at the Jatipur. Anyone's been to Jatipur? You know, you pass it. And then you see a lot of people like offering things to Govardhan there, pouring milk on Govardhan. That's their mouth of Govardhan. But you know, it's not wrong, because Govardhan can eat at any particular spot. But it's different. You know, their take on the philosophy is a little bit different, and they're called Pushti Marg. Pushti means nourishing. So it's very, very similar. They do chant the Lord's holy names. But, you know, as far as the intricacies of their belief structure, I'm not really that familiar with it.
They're more into the Vatsalya.
Yeah. That's interesting, because many of the devotees in ISKCON have taken up the worship of Ladu Gopal, which is not really part of the Ar Sampradaya. And it's part of the Balabha Sampradaya, because they're into Vatsalya Ras. And Maturya is not so much emphasized by them. It's a good point. So I'm not saying the devotees shouldn't worship Ladu Gopal, but that's not really part of our sampradaya. Generally, we should stick to deities that are worshipped in our sampradaya. And those are Lord Jagannath, and of course, Lord Nrsingadev, Radha and Krishna, Shishi Gaura Nittai, Govardhan Shilas, and also Shalagram Shilas. These are the deities, and we should stick to our sampradaya in general. Apurva, you have a question? You look puzzled, or you look like you're thinking about something. I mean, it's not wrong to have Ladu Gopal on your altar, but it's really not our sampradaya. All the time I try to stick to methods of worship that have been passed down in our disciplic succession, because we're authorized to do those things. Right? Certain mantras we're authorized to chant as a matter of sadhana, and certain aspects of worship. And we don't really want to change or adjust things or adapt things from other sampradayas. We should stick to our own sampradaya. So, any other questions or comments? Or problems? Or Purviji? Oh, Kamalini.
I have a problem. We're in more than 20 households this online. We couldn't hear him Tamani's question because of the hater. So nobody online hears.
Okay. Oh, all right. So from now on, we should use the microphone.
Or repeat.
Okay.
Her
question was that basically, don't the members of the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya accept Vallabhacharya as God or an incarnation of Krishna? And yes, they call him their Mahaprabhu. They consider him their Mahaprabhu. So, I mean, I'm not that expert in the Vallabhacharya philosophy. That I know, and I know they worship generally in Vatsalya Ras more than Maturya Ras. And, you know, they're very, very nice devotees. We don't want to criticize them. I mean, they're nice. They're an offshoot from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, although they don't recognize that so much.
Isn't it, we really need to see how each sampradaya, even the Ramanujas, everybody has their own take.
Yeah. And we respect that. I mean, the external things, you know, are not. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, that we don't criticize the external things being different, like if someone wears the tilak a little bit differently or has a bigger sika. It's interesting, sometimes devotees do mix things from other sampradayas. Like Prabhupada said, our sika should be a certain size, you know, like the size of a half dollar or something like that. And then one devotee was having a bigger sika. And we see that devotees do that all the time. They have bigger sikhas. And Prabhupada said, at one point, said, that's not our sampradaya. Our sampradaya is a certain size sikha. So we stick with our sampradaya. I mean, it's not what other people are doing is wrong, it's just their particular heritage. You know, that we have to be faithful to our acharyas and our sampradaya. We don't want to change even the external things, but we respect what everyone else does. It's not that we say we're better, it's just this is part of our family. It's just like you have a particular family and you stick with your family, spiritual family. Yeah, things have changed. I mean, devotees get into all these, you know, weird hairstyles. And, you know, and even facial hair, for example. Prabhupada said if someone has facial hair, they're not my disciple. And Prabhupada said because they're against the principle. The principle is following in the sampradaya, following the guru.